The themes and the content discussed in this programme may be of an adult nature. It is not suitable for younger ears.
Live and local.
After the Watershed.
Good evening.
I haven't seen you for ages.
I know. Listen, I must apologise. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
I didn't make our Valentine's date. I was unwell. But
sure.
It sounded like you and the girls had a lot of fun.
I've got a bite from that evening.
A bite?
I don't want to say anything more. But yeah, we missed you. But I had Anna and Tracy with me.
Wow.
And poor producer Richard. No one's seen him since.
No, poor Richard. Do worry about Richard. The places we take him to. I mean, he got a job at the BBC thinking he'd be doing some highbrow documentaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead, he ends up in a... What was it?
Fifty Shades of Grey themed Airbnb. It was really fun, but we did miss you. Are you feeling better now?
I am much better. I must tell you though, we went out on a Valentine's date
on Sunday.
Me and Paul.
Okay.
There's a couple next to us who are obviously on like a first date or something. Hilarious. The guy sets light to his menu.
Stop!
It was perfect. They had one of those little tea lights on the table. We just sat there minding our own business. Next minute, oh my gosh, the whole thing's up in flames. Oh, I felt for him.
What was her face doing?
She'd gone to the toilet at
that point. Oh, I love this man.
Yeah, and then she came back to this smell of burning.
Just like scorched. Flambé.
We've all been there. Valentine's disasters.
Would you
anyway.
Go to Valentine's on a first date?
Well, I don't know if it was a first date, but you could tell it was new.
Oh.
They weren't rowing.
They were talking. They were facing each other.
You could tell it was the honeymoon period. Anyway.
Yes.
On tonight's show.
Talking of honeymoon period.
Yes. We're going to talk about foreplay.
Oh, hello.
So it will be a slightly shorter programme than usual. But we could probably end it now.
Thank you so much for coming, everyone.
I knew you'd get that line in. They've done some research.
Yeah.
We love a bit of research.
Yeah.
Apparently 6 minutes.
Oh.
That's the rule. If
yeah.
you want good sex, it's
yeah.
all about 6 minutes of foreplay. We shall discuss it further this evening.
Live and local.
After the Watershed.
I guess, you know, foreplay is one of those things. I suppose the stereotype is that foreplay is something women want
yeah.
and men kind of do under duress.
Yeah.
Go on then, if I must.
Under the dress. Under duress. Yeah. And then as important is the post-play.
Post-play.
Post-play,
yeah.
Your cuddles.
So maybe we need to get rid of the idea of foreplay as such and just kind of have an umbrella term
yeah.
of sexual play.
Sexual play.
Pre-play, post-play.
Post-play, all the play.
All the play.
Just play, play, play.
And I think it's unfair to think to say that men don't like it or,
yeah.
or not. I don't
know. I guess that's come from men maybe don't need that to orgasm.
Yeah, so maybe it's not as important.
So this
apart.
This stat, this bit of research, who did the research? It was
Trojan condoms. Yeah. I mean, and they've got a vested interest in this whatsoever.
But also non-profit, the Sex Information and Education Council of Canada, they did the research as well. And it says, even though men reported enjoying sexual encounters more if they followed the 6 minute rule, is this the rule like when you drop a bit of toast?
And you can still eat it.
And you can still eat it.
Is this, that's a two-second
Is that a two-second
rule?
Yeah,
slightly different.
That might account for my chronic illness. Yes, so even though men reported enjoying sexual encounters more if they followed the 6 minute rule, the study did show that they would still reach orgasm without it, whereas the majority of women, 61%, won't.
Oh,
so 61% of women need that.
We need it. Well, I suppose on a practical level, women need it.
Of course
you wouldn't go down a water slide.
Yeah. Oh,
that
hang on.
Wet.
Do you know what?
No, but you wouldn't.
It's
would
so
you?
Weird because I only haven't seen you for a week and I've forgotten how your brain works.
But you wouldn't. That would hurt.
You wouldn't. What are you talking about?
You wouldn't go down a dry water slide. That would really hurt. Anyway, I'm back in my swimming pool analogy world.
Are you medically... Are you...
I need to write a book, don't I?
You
Sex
need to
swimming.
Do... You...
I've got so much to say.
So you need that. But I think it's emotional as well.
Yes, because you need to... Well, you see, I would say that actually foreplay starts for women
yeah
much earlier than 6 minutes before sex.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was having this conversation not long ago with a friend. So, like, I've never really understood makeup sex, really.
Oh, haven't you?
Not really. Like, if I've had a row during the day with Paul, I'm not feeling it. I'm still resentful. So I think, you know, the whole day has to be conducive in a way.
Yeah. And there is all that talk, isn't there, about, you know, send a cheeky text, send a fax. What decade are we in?
Hello.
Get a carrier pigeon with those. Yeah, but send, you know, hey, can't wait till you get home. Yeah. You know, kind of build it up. As Tracy Davis, my Galentine's date, one of my dates, would say, just empty the dishwasher.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? All of that helps.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all of that helps. I mean, a couple of glasses of white wine, that can sometimes be good foreplay.
You still drinking? You know, I mean, he's not my boyfriend, but Master Peter.
Yeah.
Do you remember Master Peter saying about that the aftercare, I mean, I'm not saying that the sex is going to be BDSM sex that we're talking about here, but the aftercare in any kind of sex encounter is so important. Mm. And especially, so there's...
Who doesn't like a good spoon? No?
Yeah, no, I like a spoon. Do you, when you spoon, are you on the outside or in?
Oh, in.
Are you?
Yeah. Are you on the outside?
I think I'm just more liberated than you. I'm so short. Can you imagine me on the outside of someone? I'd be, hang on. Just hugging onto their waist. But yeah, so the aftercare is all the cuddles and the affirmation and a kind of more tamed down version of this is the post-play, the play-play. And there's a really interesting aspect of this research as well, that they were saying that... millennials, I hate that expression, but the younger generation kind of like all that more, because it really throws in, it really adds to the consent side of sex, which is so important. And I think the younger generation are more on that than our generations were.
Yeah, you might have a point there.
And I think, and so it's like they're showing that their body's respected, even if it's one night stand. The wham bam thank you ma'am is never going to feel sexy,
no.
Is it? It's never going to feel, you're never going to feel respected,
no.
Even if it is a one night stand. You're never going to feel like this was a mutual thing.
Mm. Yeah, no, I get that.
But can I say something about the 6 minute rule?
Please do.
Here's a business opportunity. And you are going to get, I'll give you top billing, because we'll go, why are you doing that face?
Because I'm worried where this okay. is going.
But we can do like A and B, Alison and BB, alphabetical. You know, egg timers.
No. Oh, no, no.
A 6 minute foreplay timer.
Yeah, but I mean, that really is taking the fun out of it. I mean, you might as well go the whole hog and, like, I don't know.
Set your alarm.
Have the countdown theme. We've done our 6 minutes. Come
well
on.
Well done, everyone.
Well done. Let's get it on. Let's get on. Yeah, I don't think it has to be that.
Okay. And why have they said
strict.
6 minutes?
Well, I don't know. That's what I was trying to find out. And what, you know, what are you going to do during those?
I think the six minutes.
What happens if you get to 4 minutes and you've used up all your. Your repertoire, you're like, I've done everything I know. We've still got 2 minutes
sorry,
left.
Sorry, sweet cheeks. Here's me reading out my tweets.
You could play a 6 minute song, then you'd know.
Do we have any
in mind? We've got the length of the song. I'm going to see if I can find some, actually.
I think the 6 minutes is about, that's the minimum. So you can, you know, anything above, over and above, of course, is fantastic. But that's kind of, for some reason, the figure that they've reached that is the, gets you
in the mood.
In the mood.
Do you remember the Friends episode? You know the one?
I know. 1-1.
Yeah.
1-2-3. 3-4.
Monica explains to Chandler all about the erogenous zones of women. Let's have a little listen.
All right, I'm going to show you something a lot of guys don't know. Ray, turn me that pad, please. All right. Now.
Well, you don't have to draw an actual... Whoa, she's hot.
Now, everybody knows the basic erogenous zones. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
There are 7.
Let me see that. Oh, yeah.
That's one?
Kind of an important one.
Oh, you know what? I was looking at it upside down.
Well, you know, sometimes that helps. Okay, now, most guys will hit 1, 2, 3 and then go to 7 and set up camp.
That's bad?
Well, if you go to Disneyland, you don't spend the whole day on the Matterhorn.
Well, you might if we're anything like 7.
All right, The important thing is to take your time. You want to hit them all, and you want to mix them up. You got to keep them on their toes. No toes! Yeah, for some people. All right. You could start out with a little one, a two, a one, two, three, a three, a five, a four, a three, two, two, a two, four, six, two, four, six, four, two, two, four, seven, five, seven, six, seven, 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 seven.
Brilliant.
And I'd forgotten just how good Rachel's hair was. I mean, like, just watching that.
That's so hilarious. So Ali's watching that and I'm trying to write down the points. Ali's just going, look at that hair.
Look at Rachel's hair.
Do you think that's why seven is everyone's lucky number?
Maybe.
We all go for it, don't we?
I love the bit though where Chandler goes, there are seven. In fact, I'm trying to work them out myself now. Hang on.
I went to LA to find Chandler.
You went to LA to find him?
I went to LA to see some friends out in LA, but I also, the main reason was because I really thought I was going to marry Matthew Perry.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm guessing you didn't find him.
Well, I'm here, am I?
I mean, if you'd have met, it'd be a very different story. seven. I'm still trying to work it out.
So neck.
So earlobes. You do both sides. Is that one, two?
So the whole kind of neck area, isn't it? But right. The back of the neck as well.
Back of the neck. Nape. Oh, back of the neck.
So should we say neck as one?
No, I would say front one, back two.
Okay, so that's two. Ears and earlobes?
No, it doesn't do it for
but
me.
But people do like
people
it.
People do like it.
Let's put that in.
At my
Let's
ear.
Put it in.
Right, okay.
Well, Rachel said toes.
That doesn't do it
toes,
for me.
That's four.
Yeah.
We've got any, pups.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Is that what you call them?
Yes.
Okay. See what I mean, but we've only got four.
Well, I'm
missing three.
I'm five. I'm trying to be polite. Ooh.
But, okay, so well, that's seven.
Back. Just
we know
your
where
back.
Seven is.
My back. I love my back.
Back. There we go.
Hair.
You do like your hair pulled.
I love it.
As we know from previous shows. Yeah. So how many are we on now?
28. 28 and I'm still clothed.
The brain. I'm so
deep. Still 28.
It says here, not commonly thought of as an erogenous zone, the brain is in fact the largest erogenous zone on the body, as it makes the connection between visual stimulation and physical touch.
But that's what we were saying. Well, not even...
Thigh?
Oh, God, yeah.
Thigh. Inner thigh. That's got to be
Do you know what's, I think, a real tragedy in life?
Mm.
That you can't breathe a thigh in.
Yes, you can't.
Do you know what I mean?
You can't.
I mean, even my tummy, I can't breathe in enough. You can't suck a thigh in.
No, you can't.
Who do we talk to about that?
We'll have to put in a complaint.
What?
The gentle breath on the back of your neck, a brush of the knee, or a
feather-like
kiss on your hand. I like all of that. Tickly feet, no.
Tickly
feet, no.
You went into that whispering kind of mode a bit.
Oh, yeah, you don't like that, but I quite like that.
That's my ears, I bet, as well, because you're over there.
In 2012, the Californian Institute of Technology measured brain response in heterosexual males who were gently touched on the leg whilst they were being scanned in an MRI scanner.
What?
They watched a video of a woman caressing their leg and then watched a man repeating the same touch. The men reported the experience as pleasurable when they thought the touch came from a woman, and aversive when they thought it was a man, and their brain showed the same response. Unknown to the subjects, they were touched by the same woman on both occasions, but it felt different for them when they believed a man versus a woman was doing the touching. This shows that the brain not only responds to basic touch, but also the emotional and social message conveyed through touch.
How much did that research cost?
Not sure, but I bet people were queuing up to do it, right?
Feather duster in the MRI. But the brain thing is what we were saying earlier. It's about, I mean, for me, you know what I love. Ali, you know what I love.
Apart from hair pulling.
Yeah. And Kit Kats.
Yeah, there's a list.
Funny.
Funny.
So that's the foreplay for me.
But you don't want them cracking gags in bed.
Pretty much, yes. No, I don't. But before, so if they're hilarious and witty, that I'm like, oh, I really like them.
Yes.
And we were saying earlier, the text during the day.
Yeah,
the kind of the nice stuff. So you know this report? Robin Milhausen, what a great name. He's a sexuality professor. You should go for that gig. Mm. From the University of Guelph.
I have no idea what that is.
G-U-E-L-P-H.
Yeah.
Guelf.
Somewhere in Europe.
Or Canada. He worked on that survey and he was saying about, this is again the brain and the emotions. So the 6 minutes, yeah, to physically kind of get you oiled up. Is that an okay term?
I'm not sure, but you've used it now.
but to make sex satisfying in every way, emotionally and physically, he says oftentimes, he is Canadian because no one else would say oftentimes we forget about the opportunity that comes from bonding after sex. So this is the before and after. Mm. We're vulnerable, we feel relaxed, we feel really connected, and so that's a perfect time for intimacy, and that can lead to more sexual satisfaction.
Mm. Good time for pizza as well.
Oh, I love it. What's your favourite topping?
Lips. We forgot lips.
Lips.
Lips. They're definitely one of the erogenous things.
Oh,
kissing,
yeah,
for me, oh, is the best thing.
What's a bad kiss for you?
A bad kiss is like the kind of washing machine one. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly,
yeah,
what you mean.
I'm not
and
into...
I've apologised.
And you have improved.
A lot of thanks.
You took the feedback on board.
But did it have to be done in an appraisal?
Yeah.
That seems so harsh.
Slightly inappropriate. Some women, it says here, can experience an orgasm from kissing.
Yeah.
Kissing alone.
Yeah.
Without any genital contact.
Yeah.
But it's because our lips are the most exposed erogenous part of our bodies. They are 100 times more sensitive than fingers.
100 times more sensitive.
Yeah. They contain a huge number of nerve endings which send a flood of information to our brains, making us feel good. How and where you are kissed can create sexual arousal too. So many people are gently aroused when their eyelids are kissed.
Their eyelids.
Not when I've got my fake eyelashes on. That's not going to work for anyone.
That's very Dali, isn't it? That sounds a bit,
sure.
Yeah.
Eyebrows?
You kiss an eyebrow?
Apparently. Temples?
You
she's smiling.
Yeah,
she likes that.
I kind of like
she
that.
She likes that. Shoulders?
Are we kissing everything?
We're kissing
here?
Everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Hands?
Yeah.
Arms?
Yeah.
Hair?
Yeah.
We're good with all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely.
I was going to say something to you then. It just came to my head. Now it's gone. And it was gold.
Right, it'll come
back
to you. Feet, we've sort of touched on that. No. Mm. But then you do get people who are kind of very into feet, don't you?
Yeah.
I think the world
is
divided into two camps. You're either a foot person or you're not, I would say.
So I went out with a bloke.
Mm. Oh, I love it. Come on, gather round. Time for a story. So... I love it. Go.
The first time we met, the first time we encountered, we ended up having a snog. And it was a full on, and it was so sexy, and he was a really
against
great kisser.
Wall.
No, it wasn't. All right, sweet cheeks. It wasn't against the wall.
No, but was it one of those kind of like passionate, like, whoa, I need you now kind of thing?
It was really exciting and brilliant. He was fantastic kiss, and I was so excited. God. I think he knew how blessed he was in the boy department.
Okay.
And he was still clothed. We were both clothed, but he put my hand on it.
Oh.
To let me know how lucky I was. Right. So I was like, this is all going very well. And he looked like Jason Statham.
Really?
Yeah, I know. So I was like, I was very, very into this. Anyway, then we met up again and nothing more happened that night. I mean,
you showed great with strength.
Thank you so much. I think my bus was due.
Do you not have a bikini wax?
No, I wasn't sex ready.
3 days to get prepared.
See you in a fortnight. Sweet cheeks. Anyway, when that fortnight soon arrived and, he never did the kissing again.
What?
That was his, he just wouldn't do the kissing again. Maybe he didn't like my washing machine technique. And it's just what, but he would always just rely on the size of it. So there was no foreplay. So he would just rely on the size of it. I mean,
disappointing.
It was, he was ridiculously blessed.
I know, but that means you need even more foreplay, surely.
Thank you. Thank you. My point is, there was no foreplay, but he teased me because he made me feel there would be foreplay because the kissing and snogging, it was snogging, was great.
Do you think what you want as foreplay changes as you get older?
Well, I think that's a brilliant point. And I think, yeah, because so Tracy Cox, our great Tracy Cox, who's got her book, Great Sex Starts at 50, is out now. And she was saying about this, that there are changes that happen, say, post 50, physically and emotionally. So I, and that sex is, can be less penetrative when you get older. And maybe that's even better because that's what makes sex more exciting. Mm. Lumen did that report, didn't they? And it's something like 35% of women saying they're having the most two thirds are saying they're having the most adventurous sex they've ever had post 50. And a lot of that is because they're not just having penetrative sex because, you know, for whatever reasons, maybe erection issues, erectile issues, vaginal dryness. I know you like it when I say those words.
Don't say it as well as Jenny Eclair, though.
I know.
You're not going to get the advert.
I know. But so yes, the sex, your repertoire would change, but you need more foreplay to make it all happen.
But also, do you not think things like, so when I was younger, I used to love that film, what was it, 9 and a Half Weeks?
Oh, goodness.
Do you know what I mean? And all the food. Whereas now, I'd just be thinking about
just the food.
Bedding. Yeah. I'd be thinking about the mess. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's messy. Who's cleaning those sheets? Do you know what I mean? Leave the food for afterwards. Or have the food beforehand, a nice dinner, and then...
Just a nice dinner. But here's the thing. I don't want a nice dinner before I have sex.
Well, you make an interesting point. I think you do have to think about the meal.
Yeah.
I would say no to a full-on Indian.
Yeah.
Because you just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But I think if you went for something light, salad, would that work?
But then the problem with salad is, you know, I like to be drunk. Yeah. And I'm altered after one white wine. Mm. So a salad's not going to absorb that. What about a jacket potato?
Spud you like. Take baby to spud you like.
And pull her hair.
You're in for a good night. Enough of this nonsense. Shall we talk to
someone who actually knows
what she's talking about? Sex and relationship expert Annabelle Knight joins us. Would a spud you like do it for you, Annabelle?
It would have done about 15 years ago because that's all I ate at university. Oh, really? I was obsessed.
So we've been talking about this 6 minutes rule when it comes to foreplay. I mean, your thoughts on that? Is it too long, not enough time?
It's the minimum amount of time I would recommend. The studies show that the longer you spend on the sexual experience as a whole, and that doesn't just include, you know, the physical act of sex itself, it's the before bit, the during bit, the after bit, it's the whole experience. So if you can commit to 6 minutes as kind of a minimum, then that's a really good idea. But of course, you don't want to, you know, be setting your stopwatch and then have your alarm going off after 6 minutes.
Not sexy. But
it does boil down to the individual couple, what their individual sexual style is, and whether or not after the experience they feel satisfied. If they don't, then maybe try a little bit longer. There's a lot of evidence to show that there's a positive correlation between time spent focused on sexual activity that isn't actual sex and sexual satisfaction. So the longer you can spend on your partner's pleasure and mutual satisfaction, the better off you'll be.
And in a way, hi Annabelle, it's Beeb.
Hello.
Hello. In a way, we kind of, so Ali was saying we shouldn't call it foreplay or after play, it should just be play. In a way, maybe we shouldn't even call sex sex, because if we just concentrate on the orgasm as the final goal, you're missing out on masses, aren't you?
I know. I completely agree. I hate the idea that sex has this schedule of you know, you do oral first and manual masturbation, and then you have whatever you deem as being the actual act of sex, and then afterwards you have a cuddle for a few minutes and then you go to sleep. And if you haven't had an orgasm in that time, then that's a kind of a sexual mishap. We like to talk about, when it comes to like sexual pleasure, desire, eroticism and satisfaction, as well as pleasure. And those four elements make up a positive sexual experience. And orgasm isn't actually mentioned. You don't have to have an orgasm for it to be a successful or satisfying sexual experience.
What do you do, Annabelle, if, like BB,
hang on,
was selling or sell it, you find yourself in a situation with somebody you're really into, but they're just not doing it when it comes to foreplay? I mean, how do you have that conversation without it sounding as though you're criticising them?
Well, this is a very, very delicate topic. You know, the way our society is set up, especially if you're in a heterosexual couple and it's the male counterpart that is kind of falling short, it's set up so that is seen as a criticism rather than an opportunity to develop your sexual skills. If you were at work and your boss said to you, do you know what, you're not quite doing this right, let's send you on a training course, you wouldn't bat an eyelid. But if someone said to you in the bedroom, you're not quite doing this right, let me show you, it's seen as a criticism or as a comment on their sexuality.
I quite like the idea of a foreplay training course. You'd be brilliant running that, Annabelle.
My mind is running wild. I think I might set one up.
I could see you at the front with a whiteboard. I can.
Oh, I'd love a whiteboard and a cane.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. This took a turn,
didn't it? Straight away.
So like you say, we often have this conversation on this programme. These are conversations you need to have. But how do you do it? You've got to go about it in a delicate manner.
So I would always recommend doing the old my friend, or I saw something, or I heard about this thing, can we try it? Rather than you're not doing this right, because no one wants to be criticised. My mum always said to me, there are two things people don't like to be told they're bad at. One is driving and the other is sex.
Your mum said that to you?
My mum said that to me.
Yeah. I love your mum.
While she was driving?
Recently, but she did say it. You've got to know your partner and you've got to know what will work. Some people find that a direct approach just works, and that's brilliant. Other people, through personal embarrassment or insecurity of surrounding their own sexual self, may not have the confidence to just talk directly, in which case, you know, erotic fiction, erotic films, anything that has what you would like to do a bit more of in is always a good idea. Or just, you know, I'm all for having a drink, having a little bit of confidence, and, you know, dimming the lights and just seeing where that takes you and saying, right, tonight we're trying something new, and not putting a label on it and not putting pressure on it and just changing things from an internal standpoint within your relationship rather than trying to externally address it and then see what happens.
I love the idea of kind of, you know, just casually leaving, a film out or an erotic book out. It's the equivalent, it's the sex equivalent of putting post-its in a catalogue.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, just circle this chapter. Yeah, find the most
drop a little hint.
Page. Yeah. The place where they stick together, that's what you need to do.
Can I say something that's so ridiculous?
Go on.
Thank you. And this is so stereotypical, but Annabelle, what do you think about this? Do you think heterosexuals have more of a problem with the balance of foreplay because it is a man and a woman? So do you think lesbian couples have a different
end? In my experience of counselling, the root cause of a lot of issues with heterosexual couples boils down to a dissatisfaction with their sex lives. Not all the time, but if we journey back and journey back and journey back, we'll find some kind of like sexual offbeat, so to speak. I don't counsel that many gay couples, but I've got a lot of friends who say, bisexual friends who say, sex with a same-sex partner is easier and more fluid than with someone of the opposite sex. So, I mean, there may be some truth to that. In my experience, there is.
Sex is weird, isn't it, Annabelle?
Very.
Yeah, weird, complicated. We're expected just to know what to do, which is the strangest thing. No one would ever just push someone into a car and say, right, you're doing your driving lesson. You're taught how what to do, how the body works, what is pleasurable. And we're not taught that in sex education, where it's that, you know, this is how you make a baby, this is a condom, if you're lucky. I mean, I had a 6-minute video. Hey, a foreplay length
six
video.
Minute. There you go.
And that was it. And then at the point of orgasm, the teacher said, oh dear God, and left the room. So that was my sex education.
This is why we need you and your whiteboard, yeah. Annabelle. This is even more reason.
I would love that, you know, like Jamie's school dinners, but for sex.
You should. Let's pitch it to Channel 4.
Come on.
I can see it
and
now.
We have to call it the 6-minute rule.
Yeah,
come on.
There you go.
Oh, we missed a trick there.
One of the things they list here, actually, as being part of foreplay, is role play.
Ooh.
Yeah. What do we think to that? And what does that actually involve? I mean, how far do you go in pretending?
You can go
that you're
as far
somebody
as you like.
Else?
You can do role play. Can be just the tiniest thing, from taking on a slightly different personality or embracing one part of your personality and exploring that, to taking on entirely different characters and dressing up and meeting in a bar and pretending you're strangers. It really depends on the couple. And the one thing I do really love about the idea of role play is that it allows you to explore different sexual scenarios and fantasies under the guise of someone else. So it's a bit more of a safer mental space to explore and play.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because my thing about role play has always been that that light at the end of the disco moment. When it kind of
something
breaks the spell. Yeah, yeah, and something breaks the spell a bit. Do you know what I mean? Then you'd be like, oh, I'm still in a French maid's outfit.
Somehow I've got to get this off. Yeah, I guess there is the slight fear of, oh, when it's over. But there's also that wonderful, the after play moment we're talking about. It's really important. It's not just about kissing and cuddling and falling asleep in one another's arms. It's a fantastic opportunity for you to talk about what just happened between you, what worked for you, what didn't work for you. I always find that praise and positive reward works way better than talking about what didn't work for you. If you talk about the bits that really did it for you, the bits you really liked, what you would like more of, I think that's a better way to make a positive change and influence your sexual experiences going forward.
This sounds like puppy training.
I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but it is that
there
simple.
Are similarities. There are definite parallels.
But that's so interesting, because I always thought you shouldn't discuss sex at all in the bedroom, just because just the nature of where you are, it's loaded.
I think that kind of that thought process is it's a really common one, but it doesn't. If that's not your thing, if you really don't want to talk about sex, that's fine. But I find it has worked wonders for lots of my couples. And for myself included, I think, you know, if you just opening up that tiny bit further, because you've literally opened yourself up physically to a person, the natural progression is the emotional side afterwards. And when better to do it than, you know, straight away?
And this kind of stereotype that men really aren't into foreplay, I mean, is that unfair, would you say, or is there some truth in it?
I mean, it is unfair in some respects, but there are statistics to back that up. Mm. If we don't have any foreplay, the chances of a guy climaxing are about the same. Like, it doesn't affect their ability to orgasm. And I think that kind of conversation is the thing that's a bit damaging, because guys tend to see, you know, they can come whatever, you know, whether it's 6 seconds, 6 minutes, or 6 hours, they're probably going to climax. Whereas if you don't have the foreplay or the precursor, the warm up, it really decreases a female's chance of orgasm. So, you know, if you have a clitoris, you need, there's that famous line in American Pie, is that what it's called, the film? You've got to preheat the oven before you put in the turkey. That always resonates with me, because that's really what it is. It's all about, you know, getting your partner into a heightened sexual state, so that if orgasm is your aim, it can be achieved in an easier fashion and a more pleasurable fashion as well.
When you do your course, you can't be quoting American Pie.
But it's a good phrase.
No, but she can't. You can't encourage that.
I should, but that can be the first homework. Watch the trilogy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think, Anne Bell, what Ali was asking earlier, which is, do you think that foreplay, either you need more or less, or it changes as you get older?
Absolutely, it changes. As we get older, our bodies don't perform in the same way as they did when we were in our teens and early 20s. We need a little bit of an extra hand, so to speak, and also lubricant. Vaginal dryness, it's a thing, and it happens to women of all ages, of all races, across the globe. It's not exclusive to, you know, a certain age group or type of woman. Mm. It happens to everyone, and if you can just take the pressure off, because a lot of women find, you know, if they're thinking, oh, I'm not wet enough, this is... I'm broken. He's going to think that, or she's going to think that they're not doing the good enough job for me. It brings a lot of stress into the bedroom, and stress is a toxin. It's an absolute sexual poison. So if you can just get rid of all of that by a little squeeze of lube, then it's definitely worth it.
If people want to find out more, Annabelle, about what you do, how can they do that?
Oh, well, you can visit my website, which is just annabellknight.com, or you can reach me on my social media channels. And I'm very boring. I don't have any fancy names. It simply is Annabelle Knight on Instagram and Twitter.
I've just come across a little list, actually, from Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
They've kind of put together a top 10 of classic foreplay faves. Very Cosmo.
Are you going to ask Annabelle if these are real?
Whether they do it for okay. you and Annabelle.
Okay. Oh, go on.
nibbling earlobes. We sort of went on this earlier.
Not for me. Bebe's not into ears.
Annabelle, you?
I don't mind that area being touched, but the kind of mastication sound.
I didn't know what you were going to say then, but I'm glad. Okay.
The sound of eating or like saliva in mouth is not...
Stop it.
...something I'm particularly crazy about.
No, fair enough. So, mastication, no. Sucking and biting someone's neck.
Yes.
Yeah, not like a full-on love bite, though.
Oh, yeah, love
would
that.
You,
yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wondered why you're wearing a polo neck today.
Polo neck. More blood, the better.
Now I know. Licking and sucking nipples. I think that sharp intake of breath from BB tells us all we need to know.
I was horrified you said that. Nipples in front of Annabelle Knight.
Is that a tick for you?
I'm probably going to overshare here, but I had a boob job when I was 19 years old, yeah. And ever since then, no thanks to anything in the boob area.
Really? Why? Yeah. Because there's no real sensation, or because it
too
hurts?
Too sensitive.
Or...
I won't find out. I don't know whether it's too sensitive or unsensitive. Oh. I'm just like, no. I had a really bad experience. I had an infection and a blood clot and I had to have an emergency operation. And ever since then, I've just been very sensitive of this area, the genital area.
Do you wear a boob tube throughout?
Throughout what? For the rest of my life?
Yeah, that's no sex. I'm just thinking. So you just say no boobs, don't touch.
Oh no, I'm not too bad on like the grazing and the accidental touching, but anything, you know, if I see a sex scene or someone talks about nipple play, it gives me a physical reaction of,
really?
Oh my God, that would hurt so much.
Wow, bless you.
So that take that off Annabelle's list. Okay. That's not on Annabelle's list.
Big dash, do that one.
On the list. French kissing. Now, we were talking about kissing earlier. I'm all about the kissing.
Kissing is wonderful. Okay, the kissing is just the most socially acceptable way to tell your partner that you fancy the pants off them in public.
Oh, kissing is so lovely. Why? Is there German kissing? Is there Italian kissing?
You think they're different styles?
Well, why are the French getting all their kissing fun?
Yeah, why do we call it French kissing?
I've got no idea. I'm going to Google
it. But also, you don't want it too tongue-tastic, do you? That's horrible.
I think it depends on your sexual state at the time and how passionate you feel at that particular moment. But no, you don't want too much tongue. My first ever kiss was a bit of a mouthful in the tongue department.
Where was your first kiss? Mine was on Brighton Beach.
Mine was at a bus stop in the Midlands.
Mine was less romantic though, because you know on Brighton Beach the pebbles kind of go in that sort of slope. Yeah. So the kiss started and then I started to lose my footing and my foot started to slide down the pebble bank. So it wasn't the stuff of movies.
So funny. A bus stop in the Midlands.
Where was yours?
I haven't had a kiss yet.
Oh, go on.
No, I've never... I don't let anyone near me.
You're saving herself.
I'm saving myself. That's someone special.
Yeah. No, go on, seriously, where was your first kiss?
I can't remember.
You must remember. Do you know what? Everyone remembers their first kiss.
Hang on. I think I was at a party and I think, and this is true.
Is it a game of spin the bottle?
No, this is even worse. I did this, and this is why I've been single my entire life. Annabelle Knight, I know you've met me, and I know you adore me, but this makes all the sense. Do you remember Anita Ward's song, Ring My Bell?
Yeah.
I went to a party, and I took a bell.
What?
Oh, no.
I thought it was funny. Gosh. I've always gone for the gag.
You really have, haven't you?
I took a bell to a party. Wow. But at that party, I think I kissed someone.
Oh, I see. So it worked then. The bell was the ding-dong bell.
Ding-dong, ding-dong.
Hilarious. Do we want to know more about why French kissing is so called? It is because at the beginning of the 20th century, in the English-speaking world, the French had acquired a reputation for more adventurous and passionate sex practices. In France, it is referred to as an un baiser amoureux, a lover's kiss, or un baiser avec la langue, a kiss with the tongue.
Oh, is this... Oh.
I'm trying to see what it is in other
places. Yeah, so is there a Danish kissing?
Hang on. Duh, duh, duh. in Australia, they use the term pash. The English verb shift.
What?
Is used in casual conversation in Ireland. Shifting? If someone said to me, do you want a quick shift? I would think it was something completely
Although
different.
Although snog is awful, isn't it?
Snog. I hate the word snog.
Hey, Annabelle, what's the vernacular now for getting off with someone? Do we get off with people anymore?
I haven't heard the words get off for about 10 years. Like
you've
retro,
aged yourself there, love. Yeah. You've dated
No, but that's
yourself.
What I'm saying. What is it now?
What do people say?
Yeah, I think people have kind of gone full circle and we've dropped the names and like little terms and people are just kissing. Like, did you kiss him?
So, Annabelle, we were playing that brilliant clip from Friends where Monica discovers the seven erogenous zones in our foreplay. What were they, Ali?
Oh, I've lost count. We got about 28.
Ears, neck, pups, thingy. Where do you think? So, do you have any foreplay tips is what I'm asking.
I do. I think massage is a hugely overlooked area of foreplay. Mm. And I think it is so because I think people are in a rush to get to the main event quite a lot of the time. We're all really busy. A lot of us are really tired. It's kind of a, let's just tick that off the list and it's done for another day. But massage is proven to really increase your levels of physical and emotional intimacy. It's one of the only acts that does both. And it feels wonderful. If you are stressed, say if your body is having a little bit of a kind of fight against you because you're internally stressed, massage is such a good way to put you in a relaxed state so that your body can do its job, your mind can be relaxed, and you can experience pleasure to the fullest.
And this is a massage with a partner, not necessarily a massage therapist. Let's just make that clear.
No happy ending. Turn up your beautician and strip down.
Annabelle Knight said.
Oh, goodness, I'm going to get sued. It's in the news.
The only thing with that, though, if it's a really good massage, you might want to go to sleep, no?
I would always suggest starting with the back of your arms and the back of your legs first. Ooh. And then like a circling a drain, focus in.
Nothing so sexy like circling a drain.
Think of a prettier, way to say that.
But
slowly focus in on the genitals and erogenous zones until that's where all your energy is focused. And then I can guarantee you won't want to sleep after that.
Annabelle, if I said to someone, because I think I'd quite like someone to plait my hair.
That's a hairdresser you're looking for.
That's a hairdresser.
I just want to finish these last two things on this list of classic foreplay faves, according to Cosmopolitan. Tell him he's good at guitar. Sorry, but how is that?
That'd work for my husband.
How has that made the list? That's odd.
No. What are you reading?
And tell her you like her poetry. Seriously, they're on the
this
list.
This is like in Friends when Rachel mixes up the cooking book and two pages stick together and she makes a trifle with mint. You've done something weird on the site here.
I'm telling you. Spanking's also on there.
Yeah.
Stroking, licking, kissing, covered.
Yeah.
Annabelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Annabelle. We've learnt so much and we want 50% in this new venture of yours.
Yeah, you and your whiteboard.
My whiteboard and my cane.
Annabelle, she
keeps saying the
cane.
She keeps going on about the cane.
Sex and relationship expert Annabelle Knight. So this is funny. Our producer today, Anthony, has been very, very busy trying to find some 6-minute songs for us so that we can get an idea of what 6 minutes actually is. Sadly, your classic. Anita Ward's Ring My Bell is not going to do it, I'm afraid, at 3 minutes 17.
There you go.
You could play it twice. I mean, overkill, some might say, but it might do the trick. Interestingly, though, he sent me a list of songs.
Yeah.
One of them being...
He's very thorough.
But when you say he's thorough, I'm not sure where he's getting his duration times from, which says it all, doesn't it, really? He's severely...
Yeah, your 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's not the same as mine, Anthony. Because he suggested 10cc.
Uh-oh.
I'm Not In Love.
Yeah.
And he reckons it's 6 minutes, but not the version I'm looking at here. Oh, hang on. I see what's happened.
What's happened?
Well, I was looking at the radio version.
Yeah, never do that.
Which was 3:44, but actually, he's right. I take it back. The album version is 6:03.
Should we?
Should we go there just to get an idea of
we
what...
need to we're both highly strung. We need to relax.
I'll give you a massage.
Could you? Could you circle my drain?
Don't ever say that to anyone, will you? I know you like a laugh in the bedroom, but really. Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone is apparently 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Queen's Radio Gaga.
Oh, please don't.
I think that that would put me off.
It's the clapping.
Basement Jack's Rendezvous.
Oh.
Or, Anthony says, if you want to go 1 minute longer. Yeah. All right, Anthony, pipe down. He says you could go Led Zeppelin. When the Levy Breaks. I'm not sure it's appropriate. Levy, even. When the Levy Breaks.
Can we just... Can you... You're talking over Anita.
Sorry. We must have some more respect for Anita and her bell. I've had enough of that.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling,
my bell. What does work for you in the bedroom, music-wise? Do you have a soundtrack?
It's usually me singing, just a bit of Wham. I love my soul.
Yeah.
So Donny Hathaway, stuff like that. I love that bit. I'd even go Barry White.
Would you?
Of course I would.
So predictable.
Yeah. What about you?
Not Barry
the
White.
Nolans.
The Nolans.
That
particular track.
You know a song that's lovely, the Paul Weller, You Do Something to Me? But there's no rhythm to that blood. Is that what you mean? A song to do it to?
Yeah.
To make the sweet love
to? I wouldn't want a ballad. I wouldn't go ballad.
No.
I'd want something, you know.
Like a disco beat.
I'm thinking Lizzo. I do my hair, sir. I think that would work. I think that would definitely work in that context.
All I'm going to say, poor. That man has been through too much.
Oh, speak of the devil.
What?
You were saying how foreplay can often start much earlier in the day.
Oh, yeah, it's really important.
You know, cheeky little text.
Oh, hello, darling. I'm missing you.
Paul's just sent me a message.
What's he said?
I've submitted our gas and electricity meter readings. I mean, if that doesn't get you in the mood, nothing will. Hilarious. Wow. Oh, yeah, no one's going to be circling my drain later. Funny. I must get him to listen to the show.
Or not. Oh, God, I can't stop crying. Stop it.
Shall we do a good 6 minute then?
I wish we would.
We will end the show then with 10cc. Yeah. Should we, before
do we know why it's
though,
called 10...
Yeah, should we share that little bit of trivia
you
or
do
not?
Do it. I'm not saying it. I've got a career to think about.
The problem with what we're about to share with you is that once you are in receipt of this information, it's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. Somebody told me this years ago, and it's never left me.
Yeah.
And now whenever I have to say the words
10cc,
this is what comes to mind. Do we know if it's actually true? Apparently, or is it one of those kind of urban myths?
Apparently there was a Jonathan King, Kate dreamt that he'd a successful band had the name 10cc. And then this fact came out. But apparently it's 9cc.
So it's incorrect then. Mm. I mean, I'm just wary about giving out false information. Oh,
it's an urban myth. It doesn't matter.
So basically 10cc, they say, is the amount of sperm in a man's ejaculation. Is that correct?
Well, I find that hard to swallow.
Oh, wow. No, look, it is an urban myth, according to Anthony. I mean, I don't know whether he's carried out his own research in this area, but apparently it's not.
He's very thorough.
But it's not true. Good story, though. And the thing is, now it will stay with you forever.
And now you've ruined an entire back catalogue of a great band.
But if it ever comes up in a pub quiz, you'll know the answer. So that would be some pub quiz, wouldn't it?
What have you learnt today, Ali?
I've learned that 6 minutes is the minimum amount of time when it comes to foreplay. I'm not going to be getting into business with you on those egg timers anytime soon.
Wow.
But no, I think, yeah, I mean, I do go back to what we started saying, though, that maybe we just need to get rid of this idea of foreplay, postplay, and we just get rid of this linear idea of sex full stop.
And it's great, as Annabelle was saying, as you've said, as I've said, all our previous guests have said, penetration isn't the answer, orgasm isn't the goal.
Exactly.
There's a T-shirt.
What are we going to talk about next week? Do we know?
Foreplay.
Do we have any ideas?
I've
whatsoever?
Got loads of ideas, but I haven't shared them yet.
I'm just reading this, actually. This in the news today. Durex have rebranded, apparently, with a sex-positive campaign.
Oh. Did they have a sex-negative one before?
No, it says here. This creative agency have designed a new brand identity for British condom manufacturer Durex, which features a flattened logo written in One Night Sans typeface. It's probably more information than I needed. In a bid to challenge repressive sexual norms, they've designed the visual identity to accompany this brand new strategy of theirs by showcasing the positive reality of sex. The rebrand includes a refined logo and a sans serif typeface, wittily named One Night Sans, please, as a play on the term one night stand, alongside posters advertising honest facts and figures about sexual health. The new campaign aims to reposition the condom company as a mainstream activist against sexual stigmas and taboos. So, for example, porn's not the norm, they're saying. What? 71% of young guys go online for inspiration in the bedroom. Uh-huh. Something to spread. One in two of us have never been tested for STDs. So there you go. We probably won't discuss that next week. We'll find something better.